The title of his lecture is Renewal. Mr. Carr.
Renewing our thinking, our point of view. We need especially to renew our sense of the very heart and soul of life, its spiritual essence, not just outward appearance. This means bringing spiritual qualities into our living, like intelligence, integrity, loving kindness, thoughtfulness, order. Suppose you and I really put these qualities into action. Aren't we going to begin to renew our living? Maybe you're asking, frankly now, just how does cleaning up my thinking renew outward appearance? Like health, relationships, job difficulties, lifestyles, or the environment. Well, let's begin with health. A woman I know had suffered for some time with an embarrassing abdomen problem and digestive disturbances. In church one Sunday morning, she was repeating this part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. The emphasis on the words, as we, suddenly struck home. She thought, why only as I forgive, am I forgiven. She prayed this way. Dear God, you have forgiven me many times when you've healed me of illnesses and troubles. Now how can I forgive others as I have been forgiven? With this prayer, she felt a sense of freedom and excitement. She wanted to cancel out her heavily materialistic and critical view of people. She started right then to see each one in that congregation as the very activity of God. Good. God's spiritual reflection. And she included in this prayer an individual she greatly disliked. She thought, God, forgive my false concept of my fellow man. Help me to see her as you made her. The transformation was instantaneous. Afterwards, she said, how different she looks to me, and how different I look to me. Her abdomen became normal in every way. The sudden inspiration to radically clean up her thinking resulted in physical healing. But she didn't stop there. She continued a thorough clean-up campaign of spiritual refreshment and renewal. The outward result, excellent health maintained. You see, my friends, renewal is not some long, drawn-out mental and physical metamorphosis on a human basis. It's an awakening to the true concept of man as all spiritual. What do we mean by this? We can best learn from the healing works of Jesus and the discoverer of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. Tells us specifically just how he healed in a few very telling words. It's in her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. She says this, Jesus beheld in science the perfect man. Now that term in science is the truth of man that transcends the physical sense of man, which is not an ultimate reality. All right, he beheld the perfect man where? Sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, that is the spiritual concept, the Savior saw God's own likeness, not man's own likeness. And this correct view of man healed the sick. Now, That word sick, I would think, is used widely to refer not only to sick body, could be a sick business, a sick profession, a sick academic effort, a sick relationship, a sick economy, or what have you. All right, what's the sick then in the broad sense? It's the effect of a material, spiritually uneducated point of view that gets itself painted on the canvas of life as something that's not good. Then the corrective is not physical. It's spiritually mental. Let it be said right here. There is no incurable problem because there's no incurable point of view. What's the correct view of man? It's seeing, knowing. Now, this isn't some surface thing. This is from the heart. It's knowing that man in his true selfhood expresses only God, good, expresses only the divine mind, spirit, truth, love. Therefore, in truth, man is a holy spiritual being, loving, lovable, intelligent, healthy, happy. Further, that man's not in any degree the likeness of physicality, with its faults and failures, sicknesses and restrictions. If we keep looking at the spiritual view of man, the perfect model, we begin to clean up our thinking. Then we renew not only our thoughts, but our experience. Let me illustrate it this way. My hobby is tennis. Now and then I take a lesson from a pro. He explains the best way to hit various shots, and I practice by hitting back and forth. So I do what I've been taught. I have more good shots, fewer bad shots, and my game is better. Similarly, our life will be better, a whole lot better, when we have a perfect model to go by, live by. What's the model? Man, perfect, spiritual, in the image of God, not imperfect and discordant in the likeness of physicality. Mrs. Eddy puts it this way. The sculptor turns from the marble to his model in order to perfect his conception. We are all sculptors, working in various forms, molding and chiseling thought. Then she asks, we must form perfect models in thought and look at them continually. She doesn't say now and then. Or we shall never carve them out in grand and noble lives. By holy in thought, the perfect spiritual model of man, said he found this truth healed. It improved. It cleaned up all kinds of problems for herself and others. She likened this spiritualization of thought to keeping your violin in tune. We too have to keep our thought in tune. How? By ridding it of the litter of matter-oriented beliefs. And by replacing it with the spiritual true concept of man. This is the way to true renewal. You see, the effect of this spiritual changeover is to improve human experience. But we need to be very clear as to what we renew. We don't renew God's man. What we do renew is the human sense of man. We accomplish this to the extent we keep our violin in tune. That is, persistently keep our thought in tune with the basic premise of life, present spiritual perfection. The Bible states the premise, that very premise, in a few words we all know. Beloved, now are we the sons, yes, and the daughters of God. And there's a chapter in the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, which also states that premise in its title, called The Science of Being. It's the science of being the image and likeness of God here and now. There's no chapter in this book called The Science of Becoming. Forget it. Obviously, two and two isn't going to become four. It is four. So the science of man in the image of God, good, not the likeness of physicality with its tenet hang-ups. This is a true science. It is. So man, you and I, man isn't going to become better, healthier, happier tomorrow, next week, next month, next year than right now. We are all of these things. In truth, we are already the full, perfect spiritual reflection of God here and now. We have to tune in on this fact, discover man, rediscover man. To the extent we do, to that extent, increasing good walks into our experience. So let's stick with the spiritual point of view, not the physical point of view, out of which comes all resistance, limitations. But let's illustrate this need for persistence further. Quite a few years ago, I had sinus trouble. When it was bad, I prayed to realize my spiritual nature, my unity with God or divine spirit, and in due time, that trouble would clear up. But it would return again later. Finally, I woke to the fact that Christian Science teaches us never to overlook any trouble, be it big or little, of long or short duration, but to overcome it. In other words, I needed a consistent cleanup campaign to spiritualize my thinking. I decided to pray every day. Thought came, sometimes I'm just too busy. Anybody else ever have that problem? Well, thanks for laughing. Now I feel right in good company. Well, I thought, I'm not too busy to do certain things every day. I do some eating. Some sleeping. Brush my teeth, comb my hair, get dressed. So I'm not too busy to put on the garment of Christ. To take enough time each day to clothe my thought with an in-depth spiritual awareness of the very nature of God and of my relationship to Him. What does this mean? Massetti explains. God is the creator of man. Not man, not matter, but God, or good. And the divine principle, man, remaining perfect. The divine idea, or man, remains perfect. There's the premise again. Present spiritual perfection. In view of this, my relationship to God was a continuous fixed. And so are my health and my perfection. These qualities of my being didn't wobble in and out. They weren't stuffed up or constricted. Frankly, what messed up my full reflection of good was simply material, ungodlike thinking. When this was gotten rid of, cleaned up, you might say, all was well. Paul the Apostle said this, be not conformed to this world, be not conformed to the matter, sense of man, the litter, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul didn't say be transformed by the renewing of your body, did he? I could say my primary job wasn't to improve the body, but the thought, of which the physical body is an objectification. As I spiritualize my thought, I realize the body will express health, wholeness. I prayed persistently for about 5 or 10 minutes every day for some months. A bad stretch of weather came along, enough to test a serious sinus problem. No distress at all. That was the complete end of that trouble. You see, prayer is a continual renewal process. Continual. If you and I attempted not to pray regularly, consistently, let's remember, part-time work, part-time wages. A homespun philosopher once said, the trouble with people is not that they don't know, but that they know so much that ain't so. All right. What is it that you and I know that ain't so and that causes trouble? The belief that man is physical, that matter is man's life and conditioning agent, that man's subject to diseases and disorders. These are popular, cherished beliefs we need to get unglued from. Why? Because they're no more part of God's true spiritual reflection, man, than they are part of God himself. They're simply material, spiritually uneducated points of view. Being points of view, they're not hard and fast realities. Then they can be corrected. How? By ridding thought of the litter of matter-oriented beliefs and beholding to the true concept of man, spiritual in the image of God, not physical in the likeness of matter. In this way, a thorough cleanup campaign of thinking and acting brings true renewal of both thought and experience. We've talked about necessity for spiritualizing human consciousness and its effect in our lives. But there's a far greater need. This is my second point. It's to change our base of thought from the human mind to the divine mind or God. How do we change a base of thought? Bible tells us. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, we need to put off the old man. What's that? The popular belief that we're a material mentality and physical body combination. That we have to put on the new man. This means recognizing we're in truth the very activity of God, or good. We're God's or divine mind's knowing and imaging forth of its own perfect spiritual infinitude. That's how big and wonderful man is. Realizing and living these spiritual truths is spiritual dynamite. And that's the key to true renewal. These things aren't true because you and I know them. We know them because they're true. To illustrate, now this concerns the experience of a businessman, but whether or not you're a businessman, we're all in the business of living, of loving, of expressing God. So it should be of concern to each one of us. Well, my friend was locked into a narrow, confining business situation. Or so he thought. He looked around unsuccessfully, so he was afraid to get out. He was frustrated. Long hours, mediocre pay, and unappreciative boss. All in all, he felt pretty sorry for himself. He tried to explain his troubles in great detail to a Christian Science practitioner who listened about. But when he started to replay the negatives, you know, keep going over the record, finally the practitioner clapped a lid on the whole thing, and then he became resentful toward the practitioner. But he listened rather grudgingly. Was pointed out that my friend certainly needed to change his thinking. That is, he had to put off, discard the old point of view that he was merely a physical person with a little limited personal mind, working for another physical person with a little limited personal mind, and struggling to make a living. On the contrary, he had to put on the new man. This meant recognizing his true selfhood was the very reflection of God, who is the one unlimited divine mind. That God was his mind. That God was his employer, too. That his true occupation was to be a clear transparency for the divine mind, God. To express intelligence, integrity, usefulness, initiative. He began to see that expressing divine mind or God or good, there's just no struggle. And in this divine mind, God or good, was his infinite ability, his infinite capacity, and his infinite opportunity to express limitless good. Out of the blue, a very good job offer walked in. First, he resisted, moving his home base out of the question. But the month of spiritual uplift paid off because he listened and followed. He said the moment the decision to accept was made, things just opened up. Later, he just stood back to watch all the wonderful steps in progress unfolding. The details of home, church, community, school, these things all fell into place. There were no voids in God's or divine mind's providing. Looking back, he said his business problem was due basically to a false, material, personal, limited sense of self and resistance to change. And change can be progress. Those of us who read the book, Future Shock, we'll recall that's one of the points they brought out. The human tendency to resist change. My friend had to overcome that tendency, and he did through prayer. As soon as he started from divine mind or God as his only consciousness, he began to gain a clear view of his real identity, his true spiritual self, his limitless possibility. Now, change, for change's sake, that is the human preoccupation with externals. The cosmetic sense of life isn't what I'm talking about. And just happy, positive thinking isn't either. For all renewal in our human experience has to come from a deeper change within. I'd like to repeat that because I believe it's central to what we're talking about. All true renewal in our entire experience has to come from a deeper change within. That is, we must change our thinking all the way from a material point of view about everybody and everything to a spiritual point of view. And that means that the human mind, as the basis of thought and action, must yield entirely to the divine mind or God. This is the very foundation of Christian Science. What makes it different from all other systems of thought? Only as we recognize that all true being is God-based, rather than matter-based or person-based, do we find true renewal. This was a great thrust of Jesus' life. You remember he said he must be born again. Not a physical process, a spiritually mental one. That is, we must rediscover man as wholly spiritual, with his source not in body, flesh, physicality, materiality, and hang-ups, but with his source in mind, God, spirit, love, good. Actually, this is accepting the Christ, truth. And this truth is our Savior. Savior from what? The age-old lie that man's physical, out of which come all problems, troubles, vicissitudes and limitations. The perfect spiritual model of man held to and practiced in our lives is the greatest regenerative power on earth. We can all happily yield to these spiritual truths and experience their transforming effect. Let me tell you about my father. As a young man, he was a creative textile designer. This work required fine attention to detail. In his early years, he had to wear glasses. But his study of Christian Science taught him that his essential nature, including vision, was spiritual rather than physical. As a result of this improvement in his thought spiritually, he no longer needed glasses. In later years, he taught art and algebra at my mother's private school. At a late point in his life, cataracts threatened his vision. Instead of yielding to desperation, he sought inspiration. How? By praying earnestly to learn more about God as his only mind. And his relationship to this divine mind as man, the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-acting idea. Father wouldn't let go of that perfect standard. And that perfect standard wouldn't let go of him. Praying every day, not now and then, but praying every day in this scientific manner was a spiritual refresher. It healed him of the cataracts. But more than this, it contributed substantially to his health, longevity, and well-being. Up at the time of his passing, in his 94th year, he taught at my mother's school, ran all of his business affairs, read and looked at TV with ease. His vision was excellent. The other part of the family, mother, also believed in these spiritual truths and made a real effort to live them. One of the many benefits was that she had a continuous teaching record of 75 years. As we've seen here, renewal is a constant process, a lifelong process, a lifelong process, a deep scientific awakening to the sense of man as all spiritual and governed by the one mind God and not by matter. And you and I, if we don't renew our thoughts spiritually, then what? Deterioration. What deteriorates the physical? For a fading sense of life just goes hand in hand with mortality. The good news is, renewal comes from the recognition and acceptance of man's true immortal nature. From letting thought be constantly governed by the perfect spiritual model. The human tendency is to be overly concerned with externals, isn't it? Looking to matter remedies for the problems the belief in matter's caused. For years, the founder of Christian Science tried to change externals. Her physical body, her financial situation, her family situation, her environment. Finally, she delved beneath these externals. The dress and symbols of life. Through an in-depth study of the Bible, she began to glimpse, then understand the Christ principle, Jesus' teaching, to see what being born again really means. That man's true being is wholly spiritual because he's created by God. That man's mind is unlimited because it's God. That man's life is unimpaired because it too is God. Therefore, in truth, man is not a physical being. He's not evolved from matter. He's not encased in matter. He doesn't think with matter. He's not threatened by matter. Then what's matter. Mr. Saul, matter is a misstatement of mind. Then physical man and physical life, with their imperfections and troubles, are not hard and fast realities you and I have to contend with. They're simply mental mistakes that can be corrected. How? By accepting the Christ. The truth of man is all spiritual, hence all perfect. As the full revelation of these basic spiritual truths dawned upon her, Mrs. Eddy progressively found renewal throughout her entire experience. Through her many struggles, she became convinced that full reliance upon spiritual means alone was the way to health, happiness, purpose, useful activity, and that drugs, which Jesus neither used or taught others to use, were not healing agents or problem solvers. They drew their supposed effect only from people's belief in them. Christian Science may explain that you and I, all of us, can find health, happiness, peace, plenty, enjoy the fullness of life by turning to God, Spirit, and rejecting all drugs, whether listed as legitimate or illegitimate. It makes plain, it demonstrates scientifically, that spirituality is the most effective alterative in the world. Here's an example that points this up. A young man I know who had had some exposure to Christian Science decided at 16 to chuck it and go his own way. At first he was caught up in pleasure seeking. Later this magnified itself into full-blown hedonism that ended the young girl's pregnancy. They were married briefly, then divorced. For solace, my friend experimented with marijuana, then with more potent drugs. Soon he was a walking pharmacopoeia with expertise in most popular drugs. He was constantly on the move, searching for that perfect haven in materiality. He held many jobs, some for a few weeks, some for a few months. But finally, that hectic lifestyle bottomed. He was broke. His friends were selling drugs for an income, ripping off construction supplies, stealing clothing. At this low point, a few basic ideals from his early Sunday school training began to stir in his thinking. Humble. He decided he really wanted to renew and spiritualize his approach to living. He moved to a nearby city and found a job. He bought a copy of Science Health, began to read it. One night he woke up with a start. He realized some of those spiritual truths he'd been reading made sense. That his former restlessness and hypercriticism were giving way before the sureness of all-embracing love. He was learning to pray. The next morning, much to his surprise, he found he didn't want to smoke. The desire for alcohol and drugs had vanished. Promiscuity no longer interested him. His life was being renewed, refreshed, regenerated. He began to recognize that his true identity wasn't material with hang-ups. It was spiritual. God-based, God-supported, God-directed, God-satisfied. That material mightiness, drugs, sensuality weren't really satisfying. He made a real earnest, in-depth effort to let the perfect spiritual model of man govern his thought. To know, for example, that God was his mind, bringing him awareness of good. The God was truth, giving him the ability to express integrity and perfection. And above all, the God was love, motivating him to be helpful and kind. Well, it wasn't very long before a very good job offer came his way. He accepted. He's still there. And this is a new form of community action work. He's with a public relations firm dealing with business and minority groups. I saw him about 3 weeks ago, and he said, Charlie Carr, I got my first raise. It's a big one. Naturally, I'm happy about that. But he says, I'm more than happy because of the fact that I found my niche in life. And it's simply to glorify God, express good, and to help your fellow man. He said, for years I've tried to change externals, the outward material sense of things. But he said, now I've got my thinking spiritually based, spiritually oriented. He said, as a result, sometimes so much good is walking into my experience that I almost feel like saying, wait a minute, God, not quite so fast. Really, man, renewal isn't an isolated event. It's the effect. All is the effect of an ardent, ongoing recognition of the true nature of man as the present spiritual reflection of God. There's the premise again. Perfect God and perfect man are indestructibly related. In human life, you and I need to wake up to this. Stay awake to it. Keep about in tune with it. Then, with spiritualized thinking, our entire experience is renewed, refreshed, happified. This leads me to my third point. Love for our fellow man is the key to solving society's problems. Love is the very activity of divine mind. It recognizes everybody as the presence spiritual reflection of God, rather than as a merely physical being, a material mentality and a physical body combination capable of wrong thinking and acting. Let's see how practical it is to have a spiritual true concept of man. One morning after doing an errand at church, a woman locked the door, slid the key into her wallet, and hurried to her car. At home, she realized her wallet was missing. Street was a busy one. She went back and found nothing. Her first reaction was, it's hopeless. I'll never see those charge cards again or my $50. But she caught herself. You might say she refused to litter her thinking with hopeless condemnatory fears. Instead, she set about cleaning up her view of man, God's man, herself, everyone. That evening, while home, she was walking by a hall mirror. Suddenly, the concept of reflection, true reflection, startled her. She thought, one man is in truth the full spiritual reflection of God. And because God, a good, is all in all, as the Bible implies, filling all space, the only power, the only true mind, the only true activity, then in truth, there is just nothing that can destroy or disrupt the relationship between God and man, nor diminish the being of man, which in truth is pure, honest, lovable, a clear transparency for good alone. She became absorbed in exploring the wonders of an absolutely spiritual concept of man. And then she found herself rejoicing in the beauty and fullness of this view. Very soon the doorbell rang. She knew intuitively it was a wallet being returned. Lady, man said, I picked up your wallet this morning. All day long I struggled myself because you could sure use that money. But he said, about 10 minutes ago I got up out of my chair and said to myself, well, what are you waiting for? Take the lady back her wallet. It was complete. Nothing missing. As she looked at that man standing there in front of us, she didn't see a hunk of physicality with a whole lot of faults. She saw a man in terms of godlike spiritual qualities. And she had held thought steadfastly to this perfect view. He felt that love and responded. She joyously shared the return money, giving him the amount he would accept. Surely, renewal in our society will grow out of just this kind of thinking that's based on love for man in the image of God, good, not in the likeness of physicality and wrong. In other words, the perfect spiritual model of man held to is what overcomes evil and brings out the good and love inherent in you, me, man, in all of us, in life itself. An all-encompassing love is what truly helps and heals mankind. Mr. Eddy puts it this way. I saw the love of God encircling the universe and man, filling all space. And that divine love so permeated my own consciousness that I loved with Christ-like compassion everything I saw. There's abundant proof that Mrs. Eddy individually shared her spiritual view of life and a love for mankind in her work and teaching, not only with her patients and pupils, but in her community. This wasn't an outgrowth of human do-goodism, however. It came from a conviction that the unity of God and man must express itself here and now. She lived in Concord, New Hampshire for almost 20 years. One who worked very closely with her for the last 9 years there, the Reverend Irving Tomlinson, said this. She neither claimed nor desired exemption from civic responsibility. She petitioned the mayor to get Rose macadamized, but she did more than advocate. She started a fund for good roads by offering $5,000, which she later upped to $8,000. She was influential in focusing thought to the renewing and paving of the State Street area, learning of the lack of shoes among poor school children. She set up an efficient and far-reaching program which provided over 200 school children with new shoes. She contributed generously to the YMCA, the police department, newspaper writers' home, and many other worthwhile activities. She arranged for the first Christian-sized services in jails and state prisons. Mr. Tomlinson, in his book, 12 Years with Mary Baker Eddy, said this. Through communion with a one mind, she sought a clear concept of the right and wrong of each vital question. Then she took a stand for what she believed to be right. Yes, spiritualizing a thought in life doesn't mean turning your back on humanity's suffering. It means healing it, spiritually, scientifically. Currently, an increasing number of Christian scientists are taking an active part in community renewal and civic affairs as a result of their prayers. Here's an example. A couple moved to a small city which had a very poor self-image. In a perennially depressed area, it had every conceivable city problem. All political animosities just creaked on endlessly. Although that city was beautifully situated, with areas of great historic value, the residents no longer saw any of this. They saw race and housing conditions disintegrating businesses and neighborhoods, a seemingly hopeless, immobilized urban renewal program. The newcomers, who were Christian scientists, saw marvelous potential because they believed God was ever-present life and love, always expressing himself. They realized if they were to be of any use, they had to clean up their own view that was being polluted by the insistent bad-mouthing of the town. They saw their job was not to join the popular chorus and condemn the city, but to pray for it. How? By realizing the city is, first of all, a state of mind. That in reality, there's only one city. The city of God, people, spiritual beings, all under the government of truth and love. As a result of this scientific prayer and the ensuing open-mindedness, three couples purchased homes in an integrated neighborhood near the urban renewal area. A number of Christian scientists became active in community and civic affairs. They realized that man's environment is as much a part of God's creation as is man himself, and must reflect God's beauty and goodness. They disciplined themselves to mentally reverse every damning criticism about that city the people gave as the cause of every trouble. They continue to realize the spiritual truth about God's creation. And they found many others who were ready to strike out against hopelessness, apathy, indifference. Soon things began to change. Committees were formed. Government meetings attended. Good publicity developed. Better planning and rehabilitation followed. The degeneration of that city was stopped. Property values in nearby schools are about faced. Although there's still much work to be done, people no longer say our problems can never be solved. But how best can we solve this problem? As we've seen, we'll have modeled cities as we let divine mind or God hold our thought and action to reflecting the perfect model. With this Christ-like, our spiritual point of view, we begin to improve our attitude about man and the universe he lives in. Then, and only then, can we improve human conditions and our opportunities. In conclusion, when thinking about individual, community, all world conditions, I like to remember those words of James Thurber. Let us not look back in anger, nor forward in fear, but around in awareness. Let's recap what we're to be aware of. That each of us and his environment are in truth the full reflection of God, spiritual, perfect. That's the perfect model. On the basis of the one all-governing mind, God, we need to wake up to this truth. Stay awake to it. Keep about in tune with it. Then the false material sense of man, the false material sense of environment will progressively fade before the spiritualization of our thought. Seeing man spiritually rather than materially is true love. A poem by a contemporary author flashes this feeling. On the street we two pass. I do not know you. I did not see if you are fat, thin, dark, fair, young, old. If we should pass again within the hour, I would not know it. Yet, I am committed to love you. You are part of my city, my universe, my being. If you were not here to pass me by, a piece would be missing from my jigsaw puzzle day. Therefore, I am committed to love you deeply. As you and I live this love, the effect is true renewal. Good afternoon.
You've just heard a taped Christian Science lecture by Charles M. Carr entitled Renewal, brought to you by the members of the Fifth Church of Christ Scientist Oakland and the Fourth Church of Christ Scientist San Francisco. The next taped Christian Science lecture on KBRG will be May 6th, next Monday at 2:30 p.m.